Continue to look at the book of Proverbs tonight. And as we said last Sunday night, it's not a textual study, but it's more of a broader study of the text with what Solomon talks to us about. But it is a book of wisdom. It is a book that we need to study. It is part of God's Word. It is inspired. We need to know what God's Word tells us to do. The goal of the book in general is to impart wisdom. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that we are to know wisdom and instruction. That's part of the reason we have this book. That's part of the reason we study it. In the next verse, verse 3 of chapter 1, it tells us that to receive instruction and wisdom is part of why this book is written. And one way to learn about something is to consider the opposite. All right, so we're studying about how to gain wisdom. Well, if you want to know how to lose wisdom or not gain wisdom, what's the opposite? The foolishness side of it, the folly. So if you want to understand what wisdom is, then the writer tells us, then you need to know what folly is. And folly here, we're going to use the word fool tonight. And I know there's some parents, I used to be that type of parent that really didn't like my kids to know that word or to use that word or to call somebody a fool. But it's used in a biblical sense here, so I want you to understand that. I'm not trying to teach your children something bad. I want them to understand that this is a word that the Bible uses. So if you want to understand what wisdom is, then you need to know what folly is. And if you want to be wise, then don't be a fool. Don't be a fool in the sense of what the Bible teaches. So in studying the wisdom of Proverbs, then, we learn a lot about the folly of the fool. So before we go any further, we need to define what that fool is as far as what the Bible tells us. The Hebrew word for fool is, if I can pronounce it, evial. And it means to, or it appears primarily in the wisdom literature here. And that's according to Vines. It means, it's an adjective meaning foolish in the sense of one who hates wisdom and walks in folly, despising wisdom and morality. To me, it seems like this world is full of that right now. People know what they need to do. They know what is right, and yet they choose to walk opposite of what is right. So, a fool then despises wisdom and walks in folly or foolishness. He walks in the opposite direction of what God tells him is the smart thing to do. You ever had anybody in your life like that? Maybe a coworker that you try to tell them this is the thing to do, and then you walk away and they go right back to doing what they were doing? You ever work with anybody like that, Travis? The right way is the book way to do it. Now, granted, there could be shortcuts in manufacturing that you could take and still get the job done safely and correctly. But when it comes to God's Word, there are no shortcuts. We cannot take any shortcuts. So we go even further with this definition of the fool being defined, and it's used in Scripture with respect to moral more than intellectual deficiencies. So it has nothing to do with lack of wit. It has more to do with spiritual things and how you live a good scriptural life compared to a bad non-scriptural life, a worldly life. And that comes from Unger's Bible Dictionary. The fool is not so much somebody that's lacking in mental powers, but in the Scripture, the fool is the one that cast off God or the fear of God. You know, people throughout Old Testament history were told, you do what I say by God, and when they didn't, what happened? I've got an idea. Think about this. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They were destroyed. The Bible tells us that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So this fool is the person who cast off the fear of God and then thinks and acts as if he can safely disregard everything in life and still gain an eternity with God. and cast off his eternal principles that God has given us. So a fool then is one who chooses to disregard God and God's wisdom. That's what we're talking about in this lesson tonight. So to help us understand further the folly of the fool, I want us to consider the fool described by Solomon here. Solomon says this is one who trusts in himself. Notice he trusts in himself more than he trusts in God, or doesn't trust in God at all. As I said, that's our society that we're living in today. That's what our society preaches. You go to any high school, college, or whatever, and they will tell you, basically in a nutshell, that God doesn't exist. That you make your own decisions, you make your own path in life, and to a certain extent that is true. But the Christian is not looking at necessarily the here and the now. He's looking farther down the road at eternity. The proverb writer tells us in chapter 12 and verse 15 that the fool, the way of a fool, is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So, let me ask you a question. How many of you like to be successful in anything you do in life? I do. I haven't always been successful. But how many of you want to be successful in your life as a Christian? I do. And the only way I can be successful in my life as a child of God is to listen to the counsel of God. To listen to the counsel of Solomon here. And otherwise, I'm living a life of folly. I'm wasting my time, in essence, if I'm not listening to the wisdom of God. In Proverbs 28 and verse 26, Solomon says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." Delivered from what? How about mistakes in life? Everyone here has made mistakes in their life at one time or another. Everybody has. Luckily, God gives us time to overcome those mistakes. But the person that does not overcome those mistakes or learn from those mistakes is who Solomon's talking about here. He foolishly trusts in his own heart. He's not willing to listen to the sage advice of Solomon. Of God. You know, you can break that down even further. He's not willing to listen to the sage advice of men in the church that serve as elders. Or he's not going to listen to the sermon when it's preached. And he says, "I'm glad Jeff preached that. I think Rocky Cook over here really needed that lesson. And I didn't listen to it myself." You see, that's the problem. We're so willing to shift this wisdom to somebody else and pray that they listen to it when I need to be listening to it. That's the folly of not listening to the wisdom of God. One of my favorite passages comes from the book of Proverbs. And it tells us that we should trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." I like this verse enough that every time my kids got a new Bible, in the front cover of it, that's the passage I wrote. Love, Mom and Daddy. I think it has so much bearing upon our lives. In trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't allow anything to come between you and God. Lean not on your own understanding. Listen to the sage advice, the sage wisdom of God. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. Put God first in your life, and He shall direct your steps. God will lead you. He'll direct you. He'll help you through this whole life. But one who is deaf to this instruction is described throughout the book of Proverbs. In chapter 1 and verse 7, we've already noticed this. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." There are people that go through this life and they can be given instruction, given instruction, given instruction, and they still won't listen. I got a cousin, or had a cousin, that I was mowing their yard for them one time. You're going to remember this story. The lawnmower, the deck was messed up. It had a hole in the top of the deck. And I got a call, somebody says it's fixing to rain. I was in high school. Got a call, somebody said it's fixing to rain. I need help getting hay off the ground and in the barn. I said, okay, I'll be there in a few minutes. So I parked the lawnmower and I told her, I said, stay off the lawnmower. She didn't listen. I told her, I said, it's dangerous. Stay off the lawnmower. You know what she did? She got out on that lawnmower and run her foot down through the deck while it was mowing, while the blade was turning. Lost her big toe. You know what she had to learn how to do then? How to walk. Simple advice, simple wisdom from a teenage boy, don't get on the lawnmower. But she didn't listen. How many times, if we could look back in our lives, how many times could, if we look back in our lives, if we looked at how many times we have turned down wisdom, how much better off would we be? Now think about how many times we've been given spiritual wisdom. And if we had listened, how much better off would we be? But you see, Solomon says the fool despises wisdom and instruction. Sometimes we just don't want to listen. I don't know why. Maybe we're just hard-headed. Maybe it's the human nature part of us, the free moral agency. I don't know what it is. But this is an example of one who is deaf to receiving instructions. And even the instruction from his own father. The proverb writer tells us in chapter 15 and verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. There were times I didn't want to listen to my daddy, and don't ask him because he'll agree with me. There were times I remember growing up that he would say, don't do this or do that, and I'd do just the opposite. But isn't that what we do as kids, as teenagers especially? But think about how much more devastating it is to reject our Heavenly Father's instruction. And how much more prudent it is to receive His instruction. So one who is deaf to God's instruction is also one who dies for lack of wisdom. Proverbs 10 verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. We go through this life, and it is a terrible life sometimes. We have so many things that we could do in this life that actually provide comfort and ease, and yet some of us would rather do things the hard way. A fool cares only to tell others what he knows. Proverbs 18 and verse 2. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. Have you ever noticed that the foolish person is usually the one that talks the most and the loudest? And the wise person is usually the one that's over here being quiet and listening. That's the person we need to listen to. It's like the old commercial for E.F. Hutton, the investment guy. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. So when God speaks, that's the time to tune everybody in the world out and listen to God. And you're going to say, well, no, God doesn't speak to us like He did in the Old Testament. He's speaking to us when we assemble, when we have the Word preached to us. And I'm not saying I'm God. I'm just a messenger. And I'm projecting God's Word to you. So it's a time to tune out the world, tune out our cares and thoughts of what's going on in our personal lives, and listen and pay attention. A fool thinks he knows everything. Chapter 18 and verse 13. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. I've got people in my life that when they ask me a question about something, I'll start to give them an answer and they go, yeah, but. Now, wait a minute. You want my answer? Yeah, but this is what I... If you know the answer, why are you asking me? Doesn't that fall into this verse right here? He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. If I'm not willing to listen to God's wisdom, it's foolishness. I've already got my mind made up. There are people like that in our lives today. You try to talk to them about the gospel. Oh, I already know about that. I talked to a man on the courthouse square the other day, Benny's boss. Benny will tell you he's exactly like I'm fixing to describe him. He said, oh, I've read the Bible through several times, but I don't really see a need to go to church. I know everything God wants me to know. Well, if that's the case, why aren't you with the saints on the Lord's Day? Why aren't you worshiping God as God commands? If you know everything, but he's already made his mind up. How many of us have already made our mind up about certain things when it comes to serving God, and it doesn't matter what the Bible says? You know, a simple discussion about baptism with some of our religious neighbors, they might say, well, I don't believe you have to be baptized. I don't think you have to be immersed. You show them Mark 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And then you look at the examples. Oh, well, that's just your interpretation. What? They've already made up their mind, because that's what mom and daddy have told them that Pastor so-and-so told them 30 years ago. And they've already made up their mind without looking at and examining what God's word says. One who is deaf to instruction is a fool, and fools know everything by their own hearts. Proverbs 14, verse 33. Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding. But what is in the heart of fools is made known. It's quickly made known. The person that is full of folly and is not willing to turn to God and listen to God, you're going to know real quick where they stand. And their foolishness becomes apparent to everyone. Proverbs 12 and verse 23. A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims foolishness. Like I said a moment ago, the wise man is over here on the sideline being silent, waiting for someone to ask him his advice. But the fool is out here telling everybody what he doesn't know. And that's the way it is. In Proverbs 13, verse 16, Solomon says, every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. You know, I can liken this to a sporting event. Y'all ever watch baseball? Never? Every now and then? But have you ever sat there and somebody that's not proficient at baseball tell you exactly what they need to be doing? In football, they would call that an armchair quarterback. They know more about the sport than the coaches on the sideline. Well, I'd play so-and-so and let him do this. I'd do this play. Why didn't they do that play? That's the type of person that's described here in the book of Proverbs. They know more about nothing than the people that actually know something. So we waste energy trying to share wisdom with someone that's a fool. Proverbs 23 and verse 9, don't talk to fools. They will just make fun of you. Remember, this is the person that tells you everything he doesn't know. He's running his mouth 90 miles an hour. And that's the person that tells you everything that you need to know, but he's wrong. I have discussions with people about the rapture. And they tell me that this is what's going to happen. And I say, well, where's the rapture found in the Bible? Oh, you don't have to worry about that. This is what's going to happen. How do you know? I've studied the Bible two or three times through. I know what the Bible says, but I'm not going to do it. You're wasting your time trying to talk to people like that. I'm not saying don't ever talk to them, because you might be able to convert that person. But this fool described by Solomon is also one who cannot be disciplined. Fools are destined for much punishment, according to Proverbs 19 and verse 29 and Proverbs 26 and verse 3. And yet they are unlikely to learn from any attempt to correct them. It doesn't matter how much instruction you try to give them. They're going to do it their way. And their way is always going to be wrong. And that's what Solomon is telling us here. They will not learn because they refuse. And they hate correction. And that is the height of their folly. Proverbs 12 and verse 1. So trying to correct a fool is folly within itself. Solomon says in Proverbs 16 and verse 22, the New American Standard Bible reads, "Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly." You ever have an old dog that just keeps trying to get out of the fence? And you'll beat that, you know, roll up a newspaper. I'm not saying beat him, but you'll whip that dog. And what do they keep doing? You ever have an old cow growing up that keeps getting out? And you do everything within your power to teach that cow to stay on your side of the fence. Well, what's that cow going to do? It's going to keep working through that weak spot, and your neighbor's going to call you, "This old cow's back over here in my property." Or your neighbor's going to call you, "Betty Ann, your dog's back over here." You understand what I'm saying? And people are the same way. It doesn't matter how much discipline is administered to them, they're not going to listen. I used to think that about my son Daniel. Sometimes I just wanted to beat my head against the wall. I could take his video games away from him. Wouldn't matter. I could spank him, paddle him, use a belt on him. Wouldn't matter. Somebody said, "Well, take things away from him that he likes." Took his video games away. That didn't work. You have to find something that works as far as discipline goes. But it's interesting. Solomon says, "Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it." Longevity. Eternal life. But the discipline of fools is folly. A fool also is described here by Solomon as one who is impulsive. In Proverbs 10 and verse 23, he tells us, or 29, he tells us that the fool is one who vents his feelings. He's always got to tell you what's going on, or she. They always have to tell you what's going on. But in Proverbs 12 and verse 16, we see that his wrath is soon known. His impulsiveness makes his folly worse. Now remember, this is the person that will not receive instruction. And they're going to do whatever they want to do. Proverb writer tells us in 14 and verse 29, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." The person who wears their emotions on their sleeve is the person who's going to be quicker to become angry. We've got to be slow to anger in order to understand. If I get upset at the drop of a hat, and I'll say when I was younger, I used to be that way. And I hope I can say maturity has pushed it out of me. I hope I've matured at 57 years old. But here you have Solomon, the writer, telling us that he who is slow to anger has great understanding. That's because he's willing to back off a little bit and listen, to look over the situation before he reacts. But the foolish person is one that as soon as something happens, they just blow their top. And you can't deal with somebody like that. His foolishness, his folly becomes worse because he's impulsive. But this fool described in the Bible is also one who commits evil. Evil is like a sport to him in Proverbs 10 and verse 23. It's almost like having fun. You know, the Bible in other places would talk about people that go to bed and they only think about what they can do evil the next day. They go to bed thinking about, "Oh, what kind of mischief can I get into?" I got grandchildren, you can look at their eyes and know they're thinking about what they could get into trouble at. I see that in some of the kids here, and I love it. Because they're not mad. But the food, we're talking about the person that is of an age where they are accountable for their spirituality. They look at life as a challenge, as a game, on how many things, how many times they can commit sin and get away with it. They even make sin a sport. They have fun committing these sins, according to chapter 14 and verse 9. So when you run into this type of person, it's difficult to get fools to depart from evil. Again, the New American Standard reads in chapter 14, verse 16, a wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. When I worked at Ohio Quaker, and I still see this fellow occasionally, I saw him yesterday at Lowe's, but we would have Bible discussions working on the machine, operating the machine. He would be here, and I'd be here, and he was operating, and I'd take the part off, and vice versa, and I like this. So we were shoulder to shoulder, and we would talk about Bible things. And one day he finally told me, he says, I know what you're saying is right. But he wouldn't give up his life. He loved his life. He'd been married about 6 times. And now he's a truck driver, and God knows only what he's doing on the road. But here he is. He enjoys his life of folly. And his answer to me one time was, I know that what you're telling me is right, but I'm not going to become a Christian. I said, why? He said, well, if I do that, then that means I've condemned my granny and papa who died outside of what you're telling me is right. A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but the foolish man is willing to make sport. He's willing to constantly look for something bad to do. He's willing to constantly live a life of sin because that's a life of fun. This fella even woke up one time married to a woman and didn't realize he was married to her till he woke up. Now that's the type of life he lived and is still living. He's bought houses and lost houses. Bought furniture and lost furniture because that's the type of life he lives. Where's the stability in that? Where is the future in that? Where's the hope of heaven in that type of life? There is none. And it's difficult to get them, that type of person, to turn away from that type of lifestyle. So now is the time to talk to young people before that lifestyle gets them hooked. But you know, sadly, this fool that Solomon talks about is someone that's virtually unchangeable. They're not going to change their ways that easily. Despite the most extreme efforts to try to rehabilitate this person, they don't want to change. In Proverbs 27 and verse 22, Solomon says, even if you pound a fool with a pestle, like crushed grain in a mortar, his foolishness will not leave him. It's almost like you beat him on the head with the word of God, and they still won't change. You ever seen anybody like that? Absolutely. Solomon says it doesn't matter how hard you work on them. Sometimes they just will not change. And sometimes that's because he considers it an abomination. He considers it a sin to leave and to depart from his evil ways. Proverbs 13, verse 19, Solomon says, desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. It's a sin to leave, to quit doing what I'm already doing. I love this life so much. I love what I'm doing. I love living a corrupt life. And Solomon is wise here, and he says, they're not going to turn. And Solomon says it's truly pathetic. Because it's truly the fool now has become that dog that returns to his own vomit. Proverbs 26 and verse 11, he talks here about the behavior of a fool. He says, like a dog that returns to his own vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Somebody that won't come out of a life of sin is as bad, as Solomon says, as that dog that throws up and then turns around and consumes it. I don't know how much more graphic you have to be. Solomon says they're that bad. And you can't teach a dog not to do that. It's in their nature. So what we've seen here tonight is that a fool is a person who trusts in himself, who is deaf to instruction, cannot be disciplined, is impulsive, commits evil, virtually unchangeable. And he reinforces these qualities of a fool in Proverbs 26, the first 12 verses. And that's where we find several observations about fools and their folly. And now hopefully what we've seen here tonight, these observations and warnings about the fool of the folly, will encourage us, you and I, to choose an alternative path in life. Especially when we consider what the final contrast between the wise and the fools is. Solomon talked about this in Proverbs 3, verse 35. He said, "The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools." What are you going to inherit? What will you inherit? What's going to be your legacy? What will be our legacy? It all depends on our willingness to listen to God. Are you willing to listen? God says, believe and obey and submit to Him. Are you willing to do that? God says, if you want to go to heaven and live eternally with Him, you have to listen to what He says and be obedient. Are you willing to do that? It may be that you're here tonight and you've never put Christ on in baptism. This is your opportunity to do what God says do. It may be that you've done that and you've gone back into the world. You've allowed folly to take over your life. And this is an opportunity provided by God for you to come back to Him. Don't live a life of folly. Live a life of righteousness. Live that righteous life that God talks about, where the hope of heaven is promised. Because the life of folly doesn't promise that. It doesn't even offer it. So if you're here tonight and subject to the invitation, I encourage you to make